This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich will join us to talk about the election and the future of the Democratic Party. On Wednesday, we are going to continue our series on Project 2025, now that Trump is heading back to the White House. Thursday, we'll talk about Separated, a new documentary about Trump's policy last time around that separated families. And we just got word, according to his Truth Social, they are going to use the military to carry out their mass deportation plan. So we will also talk about that on Thursday. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. We would also love to hear your thoughts about how you'd like us to cover Trump's second term. yourcall@kalw.org. Now we are going to learn more about New York Representative Lee Zeldin, Trump's pick to head the EPA. Our next guest, Inside Climate News reporter Marianne Lavelle, says he brings a moderate face to a radical game plan. She writes, by tapping Zeldin, Trump opted to put his planned radical rollback of climate policy in the hands of a staunch ally who is skilled at projecting an image of a moderate conservationist. Marianne Lavelle is an award-winning reporter for Inside Climate News. She's covered the environment, science, law, and business in Washington, D.C. for more than two decades. Hi, Marianne. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here with you.
Well, it's great to have you back, Marianne. We had you on right before the election to talk about what is at stake for the planet. So before we talk about Lee Zeldin, what are your thoughts now that Trump is going back? You write that Trump's victory jeopardizes the hard-fought climate progress of the past 4 years in the U.S. and sets back the global effort to curb warming at a time when the overwhelming scientific consensus is that delay will rapidly escalate the hazards for the planet. What are your thoughts, Marianne, about Trump returning to the White House and what's at stake?
Yeah, as I was listening to what you're doing on your show, I was thinking how much work we have to do. Because
yes.
I think anyone who cares about the environment and climate is going to want to know in detail what is actually happening and keep a close eye on this, because it's just not good news for the planet. And ironically, this 2024 is going to be the hottest year on record, coming after 2023, the hottest year on record. We have the evidence of climate change all around us. We've been feeling it, across the country this year, and the president that is going to be going into office in January has made clear that he really doesn't see climate change as a serious problem. He's not calling it a hoax outright, as he did before he ran for president, but he treats it like it is not a serious problem. It is not a priority. His priority is to increase the production and consumption of fossil fuels. And that is just not the direction we need to be heading in right now, according to the science.
And he says on day one, it's all about more drilling, drill baby drill, as he says, and gutting environmental regulations. You know, Marianne, I'm sure you feel the same way. We have just been so, I guess I'll use the word angry, about the media's failure to really cover the climate crisis during the presidential election. But it's not just media, it's also the Harris campaign. And you wrote a piece with a few of your colleagues called Climate Change Has Dangerously Supercharged Fires, Hurricanes, Floods, and Heat Waves. Why didn't it come up more in the presidential campaign? You interviewed Anthony Lizarowicz, director of the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication. And Anthony said it's not in Trump's wheelhouse, so it's not surprising he doesn't talk about it, mm-hmm. other than his usual rants about offshore wind and whales. But the biggest surprise is why Kamala Harris hasn't talked about it. Part of me is mystified by that, because our data show that climate change has not dropped as a voting priority, especially for liberal Democrats. So tell us more about what he said and what you heard from the others that you interviewed.
Right. And it also for young people as well. This is going to be one of the things that I think the Democratic Party will really have to grapple with, because one of their problems was there are millions of potential voters, base voters for the Democrats, who did not come out to vote. And I think it was very clear that the campaign that Kamala Harris ran was to bring in voters from the middle of the political spectrum. And there wasn't a lot of attention paid to the progressive part of the coalition. And really, climate is such an energizing issue and such a crucial issue. This has to be looked at as possibly a missed opportunity. Now, certainly, it's debatable, because I'm sure that they debated this within the campaign and they decided that there were more voters to lose from talking about climate change. So I think, though, it's important to really talk about that, not only in a political sense, but in the sense of where our time is really, I don't even like to say running out. Our time is out. Right. We have to act on climate now. Mm. And I'm sure you'll be talking over the coming months that there are lots of state and local leaders who are very committed to continuing progress all across the United States, and certainly a lot of activists also committed to that. But we need to be doing this as the country, and it would have been a completely different campaign, I think, if this was put front and center. And we can only imagine what that would have been like. But I guarantee you that if the Harris campaign put it front and center, the media would have covered it more intensely than they did.
Right. And one more interview that you did, I think it's so important to focus on this. Edward Maibach, a professor of communications and director at George Mason's Center for Climate Change Communication, said, "I think her campaign just decided that it's an issue she doesn't have to talk about." He said, "Research conducted shows that in not talking about climate, the Harris campaign failed to appeal to voters who otherwise might stay home." He said, "I think her campaign made a strategic error. We know that environmental voters have a very poor track record of showing up. Most voters have no idea what the IRA is," he said, "but when we describe it to them briefly, they say that's a good idea. Even many Republicans say that's a good idea. But this is not a surprise, Marianne. People just don't know about it."
Right. They're all for it. And you can date that mistake back to 2022, because to call it the IRA, it just, you know, it kind of covers up what it actually does. It doesn't give you any idea that this was the Biden administration's signature climate initiative. And they kind of got sucked into this very cautious sort of feeling that, oh, well, we have to put front and center that we hope that this reduces inflation. But really, front and center, what it was supposed to do was accelerate clean energy. And ironically, it his administration I mean his administration suffered because of inflation that really was happening all over the world. And the Trump campaign was very skillful in rebranding the Inflation Reduction Act as the cause of inflation. It's right there in the title. And a lot of voters aren't paying attention to the nitty-gritty details, as we've learned, and they don't know really what the Biden administration accomplished for climate change. And now, unfortunately, a lot of those accomplishments, the future of them, is very much in question.
Marion Lavelle is an award-winning reporter for Inside Climate News. If you have any thoughts or questions you'd like to share about why climate did not get more attention from the Harris campaign, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. And if you have any questions about Trump's new picks, environmental picks, he would say energy picks, he just chose Lee Zeldin to head the EPA, and Marianne writes that he brings a moderate face to a radical game plan. You can email yourcall@kalw.org. First off, Marianne, can you remind us, what does the EPA do and how does it impact our lives?
It impacts our lives in just so many ways that we don't even realize, and that's because we have so much cleaner air and cleaner water than we did when I was a kid back in the 60s and 70s. And that's because the Environmental Protection Agency was established. Standards were established for, slowly getting us to ratchet down air pollution, ratchet down water pollution. Every time one of those standards were put in place, industry would protest and say, well, this is going to be too costly. And it turned out that our economy continued to grow, and as pollution was reduced over those years. So it's just been very beneficial. And then beginning in the 1980s, the EPA also took on the job of cleaning up old toxic waste sites as well. So that also called the Superfund program is a big part of their job. The most difficult job by far that EPA has had to take on is reducing one type of pollution, carbon pollution, that is really a planetary danger. And it's a pollution that is part and parcel to how we produce energy. So the economy runs on carbon pollution in a way, because it still runs on fossil fuel. And one of the jobs that EPA has been doing, and it's been an uphill battle, is to get carbon pollution recognized as a type of pollution and to take action to slow it down. Right now, the Biden administration has put rules in place for reducing vehicle pollution and power plant pollution, carbon pollution. Both of those are like high on the list of the Trump administration as regulations they want to get rid of.
You write that Lee Zeldin is a Republican representing a Long Island district. He successfully fought in Congress for coastal resilience and nature preservation projects and expressed hope for bipartisan compromise on climate, calling it a, quote, very important issue. You write, But Zeldin never advanced any proposal to cut greenhouse gas emissions, and like other congressional Republicans in the Trump era, he consistently voted against those proposals. He came closer than any Republican in 20 years to capturing his state's highest office by campaigning on a pledge to overturning the state's ban on fracking. So tell us more. What do we need to know about Lee Zeldin, and what do you think he will do at the EPA?
Yeah, well, one of the most important things to know about him is he's a politician. He was, as you said, congressman from Long Island, and he actually ran for New York governor and did very well compared to how Republicans usually do in that state. So he's a very skilled politician in delivering a Republican message to Democratic strongholds. He's one of the first names that President-elect Trump named to his cabinet. And I believe that this says a lot, because there are a lot of ideologues and kind of behind-the-scenes people he could have named to carry out his mission of rolling back regulation. But Trump purposefully chose Lee Zeldin, who is somebody he had out on the campaign trail in Georgia, in Iowa, in Pennsylvania. Lee Zeldin was out there campaigning for him, really being a surrogate for Trump. So Trump knows that he can make the argument, make the case for Trump's, his policy. And Trump's policy on the environment is going to be just a 180-degree turnaround from what the EPA has been doing for the last 4 years. Instead of leading on climate change, it will be going backwards. And so Lee Zeldin is somebody who can make that case. On Capitol Hill, when he was faced with voting on legislation that would have held President Trump at the time to the Paris climate goals, Zeldin didn't get out there and say, oh, climate change isn't happening. He said, you know, I really appreciate the work of the Democrats who have put this forward. But and then he made an argument that the Paris Agreement just wasn't the right treaty. It wasn't the right agreement for the United States. And he hoped that someday they would find a bipartisan way to work on a treaty that would be good for their constituents. And you know, who can argue with that sentiment? Of course, we'd be a lot better off if we could get a bipartisan consensus on climate action. But saying it and doing it are two different things. And there is nothing that Lee Zeldin or any of the Republicans did over the last 4 years to address climate change. They voted against action at every turn.
You interviewed Sam Bernhardt, the New York-based political director of Food and Water Action, about Lee Zeldin, and he thinks the most telling item in Zeldin's record is his vote against certifying the 2020 election. He said he did that because Trump told him to. So I think we can extrapolate that most of Lee Zeldin's work at EPA will likewise be things that Trump tells him to do.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, soon after he was named, he went on Fox News. This is Lee Zeldin. And immediately he launched into discussing that Trump has told him, has sat down with him and told him 20 or 30 priorities he has at EPA. And the way he even framed it is he's going to carry out Trump's mission. So it, again, Zeldin has, in Long Island, he has a reputation for being a moderate Republican. He's voted for coastal resilience efforts, and a lot of environmentalists who work on those things have liked that about him, and preservation, some preservation issues as well. I have to remark that you can see in Congress, even over the last 4 years, it's been much easier for Republicans to vote for spending money on repairing and repairing the coasts and bulking them up against, you know, the onslaught of climate change. It's easier to get Republican votes for spending money on dealing with climate change than it is for addressing, curbing climate change, mitigating climate change. And that's a problem because we can't, I think Al Gore is one of the people who said this, John Kerry has certainly said it, we can't adapt our way out of climate change because the changes that are coming are too great. They're greater than the changes humanity has ever experienced before. And we're only at the very start of those changes right now.
You write that Zeldin was on Fox a couple of weeks ago, well, I should say right after his selection, so last Monday, and he made clear that Trump has given him a long list of regulations to roll back. He said that the U.S. economy is going to shift gears within the first 100 days. It's going to become a vehicle for Trump's, quote, energy dominance. So we know what that means, more drilling and then just rolling back regulations. Marianne, you have been reporting on these issues for many years. What are your thoughts right now about how you're going to cover a second Trump administration and what it's going to mean for the future of the climate crisis?
Well, as I said before, that there's just a lot of work to do to make sure you know that we're helping to kind of contribute to an understanding of what the consequences are for some of these proposals, in hope that there's at least an open debate and a much more informed debate about some of these things that are happening. For example, on the vehicle pollution standards, these standards were they were not an electric vehicle mandate, even though President-elect Trump successfully ran on the argument that Kamala Harris is going to take away your gasoline cars. But what these standards would do is encourage automakers to really make a whole range of electric vehicles available, because right now people aren't driving electric vehicles because they really aren't, affordable. Compared to the other gasoline cars that are out there, they have to become competitive. And in other countries, China, for instance, they are competitive. And EVs are really taking off in other countries, and we are going to be behind. And the analysts say it's quite clear if these EPA regulations are rolled back.
And Marianne, we're going to have to leave it there, but we'd love to have you back. Marianne Lavelle is an award-winning reporter with Inside Climate News. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Your Call.
Glad
I'm Rose Aguilar.
Here.